1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gould, Cody Tapp with you. We got JT filling in for Drew. Rob was coming in. We were talking about that same random question as well. A lot of text about temperatures, you know? Everybody's got an opinion on that. I will point out, I just saw this come across. It's kind of interesting. We know that tonight's the Hall of Fame game, right? In Canton. It's the Chargers and Lions. And some offshore books set out odds for first-year Hall of Fame eligible players next year.
Okay, let's hear.
Odds for, to be, this is just first ballot. This is not will they ever get in. First ballot. Larry Fitzgerald is minus 2,000, as in 95% implied odds to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think
seems
we all
fair.
Agree.
He also is beloved by the media who votes on
Larry Fitzgerald's so. Getting in first ballot next year. Not a Maybe the Cardinals will be playing in the Hall of Fame game. Drew Brees, minus 900, implying a 90% chance he's first ballot. Those two should totally be first ballot Hall of Famers next year. Then it gets a little trickier. Jason Witten, 40% implied chance, plus 150 odds. First ballot, Jason Witten. Like, very nice career. First ballot Hall of Famer?
I'd have to look at where he finishes with. He's got to be like top five of pretty much every tight
end. He is, that's
stat,
the thing.
Right?
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. First ballot?
13,000 career yards. Let me just give you a couple of quick numbers. 13,000 career yards, 74 career touchdowns.
Remember, like, if Fitz and Brees are first ballot next year, then remember, there's still guys that didn't get in this year that are, they're not going to have a class of 10. So, I mean, I could see a situation where Fitzgerald and Brees are the two new eligible guys that get in, and then Witten has to wait a year. Anyway, and then Pouncey is on their 9% chance. LeSean McCoy, 4.8% chance to be a first ballot. Frank Gore, 3.9% chance to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Phillip Rivers, that's the debate. Won't be a first ballot, but will he ever get in? He's 25-1 to be first ballot, but 3.9% chance to implied odds.
So Pro Football Reference, and this is tough with tight end because a lot of Hall of Fame tight ends who played in the olden era.
Yeah.
So like the stats don't
blocking
necessarily
stuff,
match that thing. But Pro Football Reference actually puts together a list of what they call like Hall of Fame candidacy as like the total percentage of the numbers that they equate to the players who are already in the Hall of Fame. The average Hall of Fame tight end would rank, it's kind of like an OPS number, right? The average Hall of Fame tight end would get a 99 rating essentially based on this. And Jason Witten currently is at a 104, so he would be above an average NFL tight end. He'd be behind Dave Casper, Antonio Gates, Shannon Sharp, Gronk, Kelsey, and Gonzalez. So like if you're looking at the players, so like if you're just behind those guys, I gotta be honest, you're probably a Hall of Famer, you know? Like,
oh, no, the question is not whether or not Witten will be a Hall of Famer. Will he be a first ballot Hall of Famer? No, he's should be in the Hall of Fame and will be one day. First ballot, though, is tough. I mean, I think it's Brees and Fitzgerald next year, and then you have some guys that didn't get in this past year that we think should get in, so that fills out the next two or three spots, and all of a sudden there's your class for 2026.
Who else is on the list? It's hard to be a 17-year NFL player and not be a Hall of Famer. Who else on the list? Just those three? Or is there somebody like really?
No, I was listing them off.
Pouncey,
McCoy, Frank Gore, Phillip Rivers, Geno Atkins, Greg Olsen, Edelman, Dez Bryant, all eligible next year.
None of those. Pass. All. None of those. None of those players.
Phillip Rivers is never going to be first ballot. The interesting thing will be, let's say, 5 years from now, okay, when he's been eligible for, like, will he have a struggle? Will he get in 5 years from now? I know there's a big faction of people that are like, absolutely no. It's a tough one. It's a coin flip. The issue is like
he's got good counting stats,
but what did he actually like? What did he do?
Nothing. He went to a AFC title game, two maybe one. I don't know. He went to one AFC title game
because like everybody will argue about Eli Manning. Eli Manning's got rings, so that's why Eli Manning. It's a different conversation.
He doesn't just have counting stats. He has some of the best counting stats in NFL history because
he played
in a passing year. Eli does not have some of the best counting stats in NFL history. He has the rings. So do you put in the opposite end of the guy who has 63,000 career yards and 421 career passing touchdowns? I'm going to guess that both of those are top five all time.
Yeah, so Eli did not get in this past year, so he's not a first ballot. So that's what I'm saying. Like next year, could you have a class that Fitzgerald and Brees get in first ballot, and then Eli gets in this next year, and he's part of that
group. I think you got to put Eli in before you put Phil in. Like, I understand that one guy's got more yards than the other, but Phillip Rivers has the sixth most passing yards in NFL history, and I would bet that he's probably somewhere in every other guy in that list, every other guy anywhere near that. But that's the thing. They're going to have to make this decision, Gold, based on do we care about numbers in a passing era? Because Matt Ryan's eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
He's got an MVP too, right?
He's got an MVP, which Phillip Rivers doesn't have.
Yeah.
And he's playing in a Super Bowl, which Phillip Rivers didn't, but he didn't win the Super Bowl. And, you know,
he actually choked it.
They should have won 28-3. This year's class in Canton tonight and this weekend, Eric Allen, Jared Allen, Antonio Gates, and Sterling Sharp. Hall of Fame game tonight. You said you won't watch. I'll have it on as background noise. It'll just be good to see football on the TV.
You gonna bet
again.
On it?
It's a tradition. So
it's a tradition to bet on it.
First football game of the year.
People have lots of different traditions in their life. I've never heard anyone who has a family tradition of betting on a preseason game.
Well, I didn't say it's a family tradition. it's a tradition. I will put $5 on the under.
Always on the under?
Yep.
So $5, always on the under. What's your hit rate?
Well, I think it's 10 out of the last 14 years or 12 out of the last 14 years it's gone under.
So hit rate's pretty
good. Something like that. The exact number, I'd have to go look it up again. I had it earlier this morning.
I did look it up, by the way. Philip Rivers, sixth all-time in passing touchdowns. The five guys ahead of him are all Hall of Famers or will be. Brady, Breeze, Manning, Favre, Rodgers.
There you go, Cody. Here's the number I was looking for. The 12 of the last 16 Hall of Fame games have gone under.
Okay.
And the total, I don't know what the update is.
$500. Let's crank it up a notch.
No, it's $5. It's just,
let's
it's just,
really care about this Hall of Fame game.
It's just to kick off the 2025 NFL season. That's all. 33.5 is the over-under.
$500. We win the bet. Then we have $1,000 to go put towards a Circa entry.
Yeah. We are doing an entry this year.
$500 on the under.
Yep.
Game tonight, pay for our own way.
I hope you guys join us in Vegas, even if you don't join us that particular weekend, but join us for the Circa Survivor Contest or the Circa Millions Contest at Circa Sports there, Circa Resort and Casino. You don't have to be in Nevada to play. You have to go and enter Nevada, and then you can select your entries through a proxy from wherever you are in the country. There's people that enter internationally. It's a ton of fun. I recommend the Circa Millions Contest because you're guaranteed to play all year. Survivor, I love Survivor, but after 1 week, you could be done. Circa Millions.
If you do a few entries, do a few entries.
Yeah, Circa Millions, you could go 0-5 week one, and technically you can still make money later on in the contest. They have quarterly prizes as well. But it's a ton of fun, and I think we're going to do an entry with some people here at the station.
It'll be an awesome time. If you enter, they got a little happy hour, a little poolside thing. Alex and I will be at both of those things. Really is a fun time out there. Please, please, please come.
August 22nd is the day of contest weekend. We fly out, I think, on the 21st. I'm sorry. We fly out the 20th or 21st. I get my days messed up there. But that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, basically.
Yeah.
August
21st. 21st through 23rd. Yeah. Yep. By the way, always got jokes. The immediate thing is the only thing Philip Rivers Hall of Fame at is making kids.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at that.
Is he coaching still in Alabama? Is that... Remember, wasn't he coaching at his old high school or his dad's high school or something?
Yeah, he was. His dad's high school. I just like seems, is it weird for those kids that their coach is?
What do you mean? They probably think
a guy
it's pretty
who's
cool.
63. Not cool. Just like, it just seems kind of crazy that would be your coach. That's all.
Oh. Yeah, but I mean, even like on a smaller, I mean, Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl. He was coaching high school before he went to UAB.
After he couldn't get that private jet.
At ESPN.
That was, if anybody doesn't remember that, the rumor at the time was Trent Dilfer was not like a rising star, but he was a big figure in their football coverage over at ESPN. And at the time he was negotiating a new deal, he had found out that some of the guys who like travel a lot, right, the Kirk Herbstreets of the world, essentially get some private jet access in order to like, you know, bounce between the responsibilities. And he the report at the time was like, he was really pushing for that. And they're like, we're good, Trent. We're going to just going to let that go. He has served at St. Michael Catholic High School as the head coach since 2021. So, yeah, he's still head coach there. Just out grinding high school coverage, you know?
Someone says, wasn't there a Survivor story last year at Circa where someone was bought out and the team went to winning it all? Oh, yes. Won it all. Yeah, because you're allowed to sell off
stakes.
Your share of it. So if you enter the Survivor contest at Circa and it's week 8 and you're still alive and there's only 800 entries left, that has an implied value. And so you can sell off the entire share or you can sell 10% of it. So what happened is, yeah, that they sold off shares to other people. They got further in, they won it all. But one of the brothers, I think it was, that was part of the group, he won it out early. And so they bought him out and he obviously made a major mistake in that. But that's the thing. Like, you would love to get to a point where you could sell off a share of it and guarantee profit, but you gotta make it at least 5 or 6 weeks probably to be able to do that.
Probably. I don't even need a guaranteed profit.
And last year was crazy in Survivor because of the first few weeks of the season, the upset. So, you know, making it to week 6 last year was actually really impressive.
Yeah, because it was wild early and you had to kind of go off book in order to do it. That's why we're going to do pick 'em.
Well, Hall of Fame game tonight, Circa Sports in Vegas next week. We got a lot coming up. You know, we got busy time.
How
it's
do you
the best
consume
time.
It?
Like, yeah, it's background
dinner
noise.
At the table. What else are you doing if it's background noise?
What's
you're playing probably, like a game?
Maybe I'll pop on the rundown for a little bit, but I'll have it on. And then I'll I'll be on social media. I'll just like whatever I would normally do, but just kind of there. I'm not like usually I'm locked in for the first drive because it's fun. And then after that, it's all literally on in the background the rest of the night. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Like surfing the web, essentially.
I'll have my iPad. I'll be, you know, looking at card crap because the national card show, I'm nerding out on that, is going on in Chicago. And there's a lot of content that's coming out. People are doing
videos
and stuff.
You've gone a couple times.
Yeah, I didn't go this year, obviously. But yeah, I've gone to the one in Chicago. It's back in Chicago. We need to get that thing in Kansas City. That's my goal. Okay. That's my goal is to get the pitch to the folks there. It's been, in Cleveland. If it could be in Cleveland, Ohio, they can come to Kansas City as well. Okay. Yeah. It's been in Chicago. It's probably the best city for it. It's in Atlanta in 2028. My goal is to somehow talk to the people. Let's make this pitch happen.
You're trying to get high enough.
I want the national at the KC Convention Center 2032. Okay. That's my goal.
We've got, we will give, by the way, people always asking, we will give a Caitlin
tomorrow
Clark card.
We got 9 days left or so, Cody.
Tomorrow.
9 days left or so in the auction for the Caitlin Clark 101.
That's a lot of time.
It's going to be a sweat until literally the final minute of the auction.
What's a number in which you're not sad?
$6,000.
Okay.
Five.
It's
truly,
silly because essentially
five,
it's free money, but
five
like,
truly is where, like, anything less than five, I'll be a little upset. But yes, I'm only in at $60, so nobody's going to feel sorry for me, okay? But I will be bummed out if it's not six plus, yeah.
Okay. How many? They got like a lot of different Caitlin Clarks.
There's a Clark card at $220,000 right now.
Man, why didn't you just pull that one?
It's probably going to sell for $600,000.
$600,000?
Mm-hmm. There was a Caitlin Clark card almost just like it that sold for $660. Mine, I'll be thrilled if it sells for $8 or $10.
Okay. So, for the text who's asking, any news on the Royals making a move? No. They have not made a move yet. We are following the trade deadline. We will certainly talk if any move is made by the Royals. So far, the biggest moves have been made by Eugenio Suarez when he became a Seattle Mariner at midnight-ish last night.
Yeah, it was late.
Overnight.
It was very late.
The Padres traded the number 3 overall prospect in baseball. And just as a reminder, that is rare for a prospect of that caliber.
First time since Eloy Jimenez in 2017, as far as being a top 5 prospect traded like this.
So he got traded in for Mason Miller from the A's and a couple of other starters. They got the number 1, 5, 11, and 14 prospects, I think, out of the Padres.
Yeah, some of those were that number in their system.
Not the first. That's why I said number 1.
Yeah, not third.
In all of baseball.
Correct.
And their system, like 1, 5, 11, and 14.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Big trades happening. Relievers have been of note. But yeah, so far the Royals, and we can talk more about it at 1:30, but so far the Royals have been quiet. Since we're talking trades, can I bring up the article over at ESPN.com?
Sure.
By our friend Bill Barnwell, who actually has come on the show. It's been a number of years. But Bill Barnwell does his article of essentially every player on every team who he thinks, if you traded them, would be worth a first-round pick. The players on the Chiefs are the ones you would expect. Trent McDuffie, Creed Humphrey. He thinks both would get first-round picks. He believes George Karloftis would be worthy of a first-round pick, which is pretty good when you think about the fact that you took him at the end of the first round. It's hard to kind of get the value back after they're paid and still on a roster. He thinks he actually might be worth multiple first-round picks. And look, most of the guys are the guys you'd expect. Micah Parsons, he thinks would be worth 2 first-round picks. He believes CeeDee Lamb would be worth a first-round pick, et cetera, et cetera. He put Patrick Mahomes worth first-round picks. 7 being the number. And I thought, and he's not even doing this as an insult. He's like, look, it could be higher than that. I genuinely do not think there is a number of first round picks you would take for Patrick Mahomes unless it was like 10 and you also get Burrow or Allen or Lamar Jackson. And even then, Chiefs fans wouldn't do it.
No, you have too much attachment to your guy.
You have one of the 5 greatest quarterbacks of all time. There's no number of first round picks that would be an acceptable number to move. That's what I kind of like about it.
No,
like,
there's not a number.
I was trying to come up with a hypothetical trade. If the Bills called you today and they said 7 first-round picks and Josh Allen.
No.
I agree.
The only way I'm entertaining
might make me crazy, but I wouldn't do it.
38-year-old Patrick Mahomes and we'll talk, okay? 38-year-old for 5 firsts and we'll have a conversation. You also just don't do it because, as you said, he's going to either go down as the best quarterback of all time or the second best. Franchise, face your entire franchise and city, beloved in town, all of that. Even when he's 38 or 39, I don't think you do it.
What's the point? He's got 5 touchdowns and he's going, or 5 Super Bowls. five touchdowns. 5 touchdown game, maybe.
Yeah.
If he had 5 Super Bowls and he's 39 years old, why would you trade?
Yeah, you would.
Two best,
yeah, you just would.
Quarterbacks of all time. Why? There's just no point.
Like, Cincinnati might end up trading Joe Burrow in about 8 years, 5 years.
He might request a trade.
He may not want to be there.
I'll say this much. He wields too much power in there. They just keep signing offensive players. And it's not a joke. It doesn't really change much for their team. Noah Fant coming in to go opposite Gesicki. He's like the fifth, sixth option. We talk about this all the time. I'm not going to get panicked about the sixth receiver option on the Chiefs. I'm not going to get panicked about the sixth receiving option on the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, stop spending money on non-defensive players. Where you need help is defense. And honestly, I don't care. They can just be poorly run and it won't stand in the way. The thing about trading 7 first-round picks for Josh Allen is that, just so what? So I can watch the Chiefs lose to Patrick Mahomes in the AFC title game? No, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah, the issue is we were talking about this earlier, too, is the quality of the first-round pick you're getting back.
Someone says, I'm only ready to swindle Jerry Jones and Mahomes this morning.
Yeah, I don't know if Jerry will be running things at that point in time.
You don't think so?
Dude, how old do you think Jerry Jones is?
I don't think he wants to quit the job ever. That's 10 years from now. Jerry Jones in 10 years will be...
He'll be 92 years old.
I think...
Stephen Jones will be fully in charge at that point in time.
I have a hard time envisioning a world in which Jerry Jones concedes power to anybody. If he's alive, I think he'll still be in charge of the team. I think it's a better... I think it's more likely
he's... Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you?
I genuinely think it's more likely that Jerry Jones is dead before 92 than alive at 92 and conceding owner of the team.
Like
if I know for a fact he's alive, he's in charge of the team.
I mean, I'm not going to make a bet on you over that, but...
Wait, why?
It do. It really do.
Cody wants to make a bet with you about that.
I know he does.
I'm just saying, if he's alive at 92... He's still in charge of the team.
Yeah, as I was alluding to, like, yeah, the issue is the first-round picks are just not good enough either that you're getting back.
Pick 32 every year. At worst, what, 25?
28 to 32.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere near the bottom of the list. That's all I know. Somewhere near the bottom of the first round. That's why you have to have the quarterback in exchange for it. And again, he'd have to be maybe if he was 40. I don't even think I'd entertain it then, Gold. If he had 4 or 5 Super Bowl rings, if he had just one more Super Bowl ring, he would... be going down. If he has one more Super Bowl ring and just continues a normal statistical path, he would be going down at 40 years old as the second greatest quarterback to ever walk the planet at worst. At worst. And so, like, no, I don't, not in the habit of trading that guy. Didn't Tom Brady teach anybody a lesson? Like, if the Patriots had it over to do again, you'd tell Bill Belichick to leave. And you give Tom Brady whatever the hell he wants for 3 more years and hope that final Super Bowl win he gets is with you. Not with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The last image of Tom Brady was shoving it into your face that he could still go win a Super Bowl with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin in a different team, you know? Trying to throw the Lombardi trophy off that COVID era. They were on like little paddle boats or whatever the hell they are on.
Yeah, they're just on boats. Yeah.
Just regular boats?
They were paddle boats. They were paddle boats? What do you think? They had volunteers on. No, they were on boats. They were on real boats in Tampa Bay.
I like the idea of like Tom Brady like kicking the legs, trying to get over to a teammate. They were, and don't you remember like the family from the Lombardi family was mad that he tossed it.
That's right. The granddaughter or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the only thing we've played it before. The only thing I remember from that whole thing is the mayor of Tampa who just sounded like a quite the character.
All right. Tampa Bay, do we know how to throw a party?
Mayor of Tampa. Jane Castor. We looked her up. She's still the mayor.
Do you know how to party?
It sounds like a mayor in like a different town of South Park. Like if they were doing South Park episode about a different mayor, not the mayor of South Park, that would be the fake
voice. All right. Tampa Bay, do we know how to throw a party? Woo, that's what I'm talking about.
That clip is so good, man. It's so good. Did you see the music trade yesterday? That was the whole thing buzzing around.
They swapped drummers or something?
Apparently Foo Fighters and Nine Inch Nails are switching drummers. They traded drummers with each other. I didn't even know that was a thing. You can make drummer swaps?
They're not getting along?
What? I don't know.
Wait,
former
what are the
Foo
bands?
Fighter, yeah. Former Foo, Josh Freese is going to rejoin. He apparently was with Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, so that's why. He just won. Okay.
But the guy who's currently drumming for the Nine Inch Nails is going to go to the Foo Fighters.
So basically, they traded
drummers.
All right, so the guy leaves the band originally. He goes over there. They realize, we're not better off without him. He's not better off without us. but we also feel bad for the guy we hired. We don't want to screw him over. So let's call our buddies over at this band and see if they'll just take him and we'll just swap. That's what happened.
That's weird.
But that's still, some that's, people are being mean to you on the text line.
Say they sound like the mayor.
They said you sound honestly, like the mayor.
I would say if it was just like one person making the reference.
People said I thought like from five the different people said they the thought that was you.
Five, a different 816 wow. from the 913.
We've had a few of that. So that I think that's you. Tough. I didn't pick up on that.
It sounded like Towley.
Yeah, that's where I got the whole, in the South Park thing and stuff.
Do you guys want to have some fun?
What if the mayor's the cloudy, the weatherman?
Cloudy with a chance?
Yeah.
She could do a couple different voices. It's not me. It's not Gold. And we established, JT, that it is not you.
Yeah, I don't know if that sounds more like you or the when we played the card promo, that sounds just like Bink. The guy from the 90s.
Oh, man, I love that.
What's his name? West?
Something.
I think his name was Wild West was the name of Don West. That this guy sounds like Bing.
Let me put it to you this way, folks, and I can't put this any clearer. Than what I'm going to put right now. I can't put it any clearer. If you don't buy this, if you do not buy this at $39.99, you're going to wake up in the morning and not be able to buy it at $39.99. You're going to look in the mirror, and you know what you're going to see? You're going to see something that you don't ever want to see.
The beginning is where it's Bink.
Let me put it to you this way, folks.
Let me put it to you this way. I'm pretty sure he said that sentence like the last time he was on the air.
Let me put it to you.
The exact sentence.
Let me put it to you this way, folks.
That's not Bink. That's not Bink.
I still think we get Binkley on a recreation tour of that video.
Oh, we're going to. Yeah.
You know? I just think I don't see any way around it, honestly, as we talk about it.
All right.
Are the Royals going to make a trade before we get off the air?
It doesn't feel like it. Deadline's at 5. I was hoping we were going to get some Royals news during the show. We have a half hour left. We'll get to what's trending. We'll talk more about our prediction of what the Royals will do. Plus, get you caught up on some of the rumors that are out there next.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending, MLB trade deadline. We've been talking about that throughout the show today. 5 o'clock deadline. We'll see if the Royals make a move or two. You and I both tend to think that if they make a move, it's perhaps to fill out the rotation. It's for maybe a veteran pitcher. Although,
I'd like them to make that
move. Looking at the reliever market and what people are getting back, maybe would they be willing to move a reliever that they weren't willing to do, 24, 48 hours ago. So we'll keep an eye on it. The biggest trade of the day involves Mason Miller, closer for the A's, going over to the Padres for the number 3 prospect in all of baseball. Also last night, Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks got traded back to his old team, the Seattle Mariners.
Harrison Bader's on the move. The Twins and the Guardians might be the two biggest sellers in the entire market right now. They have gotten rid of more players than I feel like just about anyone else. Next up on what's trending, the Royals did get the series win against the Braves. Their third or fourth straight now series wins, getting a 1-0 win in 10, in which they now have a runner in scoring position until the guy who eventually scored the game-winning run, who was obviously put there in extra innings. They're off today. We'll head up to Toronto starting tomorrow. Quintero said that they're not flying out until after the trade deadline today. So Vinny, Salvi, all those guys kicking it at home in their 60-degree AC, waiting for the trade deadline to pass, and then they'll head out. I do not expect the Royals in any way, as you mentioned, to trade any of their regular under-contract stars. A reliever wouldn't surprise me. I still think they should go get another cost-control starter or small starter like the Walter Pennington for Michael Lorenzen trade.
Veteran running back Latavius Murray is retiring from the NFL. The former 6th-round pick finished his career with over 8,000 yards and 61 touchdowns. That according to Jordan Schultz. We looked it up. He made about $23 million or so in his NFL career.
Pretty good paycheck for a guy who probably never got... He just went year to year with every single team once he got signed. But honestly, he was always like the perfectly fine third and sometimes second back to have on your roster. Nothing wrong with that. Next up on what's trending, Hall of Fame tight end turned broadcaster Shannon Sharp will not return to ESPN. A person with knowledge of the decision told the Associated Press. The decision comes less than 2 weeks after Sharp had resolved his lawsuit that then accused him of sexually assaulting a woman during their relationship. The person spoke to the AP on the condition of anonymity, because the decision has not yet been announced. But okay. Sounds like Shannon Sharpe will be out at ESPN.
Last day to watch trending Hall of Fame game tonight. Chargers, Lions, Canton, Ohio. First NFL game of the year. Now, you're not going to see starters because it's so early in the training camp portion. You're not going to see Jared Goff. We're going to see a lot of Trey Lance over on the Chargers side of things tonight as well. But it's football. It's on TV. Means we're close. I think it's NBC broadcast, so that means we should get Tirico and Collinsworth. I believe Brent Musburger is also supposed to be part of the broadcast. I thought I saw that. He's going to be part of it. They also just renewed their intro, their deal with Carrie Underwood as well. So everything's good. Football's back.
All right, that's what's trending. Because I want to ask, can I... You had earlier requested.
I thought you were about to say your anti Carrie Underwood intro, which we would have had a problem.
I don't care about it. That's fine. Carrie Underwood's intro is cool. No issue.
It's a great intro.
You had mentioned earlier you said you really love Rich Eisen as a broadcaster and all this other stuff, but not as a play-by-play guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You said, I'm not a big play-by-play guy. So like, you know, you'd prefer a different person as it was reported he could do there. Since you're making that request.
Okay.
If you're over the age of 80, I don't want you anywhere near any broadcast ever. Because you just make it. If you're like eight,
it's a Hall of Fame television broadcast.
I don't need Brent Musburger.
He's not doing play-by-play of the whole game or something. He's just
baseball
part of
the only exception I will make. But like Brent Musburger, no, I don't need Lee Corso. Aren't they worried about like what if a health thing happened or something?
Oh,
we have a bunch of 90-year-old people in these things.
Stop. Kirk Herbstreit obviously is doing stuff, but then you got Kirk Herbstreit. Who Musburger knows, and I think that's the connection here as well. But Musburger will be joining, this is what it says, Musburger will be joining NBC's booth for the Lions-Chargers Hall of Fame game. Obviously, he's in Vegas now. He left his job to do VSiN. And he's going to be part of the broadcast in some form or fashion. I don't think he's like doing full-on play-by-play the entire game. The fourth quarter gets boring anyway. If you tell me Musburger's on there talking about whatever, who cares?
Yeah, I don't want him just talking about whatever.
Oh, you're not watching the game anyway, Cody.
You
told me you're not watching anyway.
Seems very unlikely. I guess I give it like a 5% chance. I accidentally stumble upon it for a few minutes.
Remember, he also gets overwhelmed with NFL red zone too, so it's okay.
People are saying you're an ageist, man. You're an ageist. You don't want people to work once they're past 70. You're done with them in life.
I didn't say they can't work at all.
Cody said once you're 70, he wants nothing to do with you. That's what you just said, basically.
I'm just saying they should be worried that Brent Musburger is gonna like keel over in the middle of the broadcast.
You're acting like anybody that's 80 is just gonna die within
minutes.
Gonna
put a mascot helmet on Lee Corso. They're not worried about his health.
Stop. And Corso was having his final show during game day.
But then
coming
for the last 2 years, I felt really bad for Lee Corso.
Yeah.
Because they kept him on the broadcast, even though it was clear there was a faculty decline.
They were trying to let him go out on his own terms. He had earned that right. Kirk Herbstreit has been helping him on the broadcast.
It's a volunteer thing. They're just like bringing him in.
It's a Hall of Fame game. Who cares?
Bring in some other Hall of Famer.
They will have interviews with Hall of Famers throughout the whole day. They always do that.
I do not hate old people. Relax, text life. I just don't want Brent Musburger on the broadcast.
What are we doing, man?
I like Brent Musburger off the...
Like Brent Musburger. Like the idea that once you turn... How old is he, by the way?
82.
Yeah, you're acting like if you're 82, that like you're ready to write people off, man. You're ready to say it's over. There's people that live to their 90s, 95. Your grandfather's how old?
95.
Okay. Imagine if you were saying that when he was 82. You were done with him? Is that what you're trying to say?
No!
Of course not.
But I didn't need him on an NFL broadcast.
Well, he's not a legendary voice of NFL in college football. Sports.
All the ageism accusations. But yet Jerry Jones will still be in the comments. I didn't say he should be. I just said he would be. Those are different.
You're looking live.
Those are different.
I want to hear that tonight. That's all.
More trade deadline information. No moves yet. According to Sports Illustrated, the Yankees were only willing to move outfield prospect Spencer Jones, who is a expected to be called up soon outfield prospect in AAA. He's 24 years old. He's Aaron Judge size, 6'7", 240 pounds. They're only willing to move him for a player like Paul Skene.
Oh, well, okay.
Gold's only willing to go on a date this weekend if it's with Victoria's Secret model. So in the same boat, like, is this a for real headline? Yeah. Well, so they won't move a prospect? This is part of the problem with the Yankees is they're not the big swinging Yankees that they used to be, in my opinion. The old Yankees would trade their top number one prospect for whatever player needed to be brought in, and then they just go pay for a Spencer Jones type in the offseason. They just go give whoever it was whatever giant pile of money it required in order to bring him in. They're not the same Yankees anymore if they're like, I won't move off a 24-year-old outfielder who's not even the top 60 prospect in all of baseball unless it's for Paul Skenes. What do you think's happening here? They're not moving. They don't want the 60th best prospect in baseball for Paul Skenes. They want the number 1 and 4 and 8. They want some of the best prospects in baseball if they're trading Paul Skenes in the 4 years of control he's got left.
Yeah, I think it had to do with, you were saying, the Marlins, because it had to do with the Marlins, because John Morosi was talking about the Marlins trade. Basically, the Marlins and Yankees were talking about, the Yankees were trying to get Alcantara, who has not had a great year, but he's pitching better for the Marlins.
And he's had great years
before. The Marlins said, we want Spencer Jones. That's who the Marlins are asking for. And then the Yankees are floating out this Paul Skenes thing to try to bump the price up against the Marlins, I think, is what's happening.
We wouldn't trade him for anyone but Paul Skenes.
Nobody's taking that seriously.
How long till Paul Skenes isn't a Pirate, by the way?
2 years.
Okay. I like that you had an exact number in mind before you feel like... I mean, because he's making $875,000. He is the best discount in all of baseball. He has... 1, 2, 3, 4 more years of control after this one. One next year is pre-arbitration. As in gold, he's not even going to get a raise next year. He's just going to make the $875,000. Then the following 3 years, you and I both know, the arb process is going to be pretty friendly for old Paul Skenes.
I would say so.
I imagine it will be generous in awarding him a good amount of money, but it's not like a free agent. You're not going to make $50 million a year in arbitration. You'll make $8 million a year, you know? It's slightly different. Somebody's now accusing you, said, I'm with gold. Musburger sucked as a play caller for 20 years. And then you said, whoa.
That was Cody, not me. I'm defending Brent Musburger. Cody's the one, you know.
Was Brent Musburger the one being caught being a creep?
He's the one that was, his girlfriend? Was it
the Alabama quarterback?
Oh my gosh. McElroy. Was it McElroy?
I think it was Greg McElroy's maybe.
At the time. And he's like, I can't remember the comment exactly.
It might as well have been like, ooh la la. He's been a real creep.
And basically, he was like, whoa. Like it was something like that back in the, I can't remember. And Brent Musburger, him on the broadcast tonight is fine, Cody. He is a Hall of Fame game for crying out loud. Who cares?
I just think that we could find some other people to talk on this broadcast. Honestly,
yeah, but we can do that for even we can do that for we can do that for so many different things in the world. I could, you know, what I mean, like if you're taking just we could find
was
someone
the best name available.
If your take is we could find someone else to do that, I could give you that for example for a lot of things. AJ McCarron, thank you, text line.
AJ McCarron,
not yeah, AJ McCarron, thank you.
I have to find that clip. Is that in the system?
Do we have that in the system?
Now that we're talking about it, is that in the system?
She was very attractive. Very attractive.
Yeah, he was dating Miss Alabama at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a creep about it. It's never going to be in the system, is it? It's a real
shame. No, it's not saved in there. Catherine Webb. There you go. That's her name.
I would have never known that.
It's probably got deleted in the Time Odyssey.
Well, because it happened years and years ago. This was not recent. This AJ McCarron was in college quite some time ago.
This was
They're married. Wow.
To Catherine Webb, yeah. AJ McCarron is 34 now, so yeah, it's been a bit.
Yeah, isn't he?
He was there in 2012 and 2013. I was in college. He's the same age as me. Him and I were in college at the same time.
Yeah, I think he was with the St. Louis Battlehawks for a time.
Oh, really?
Sorry,
someone says, come on, Cody. He's getting inducted in the Hall of Fame this weekend.
Oh, wait. For real? If that's the case, then I feel bad.
you're hating on him?
Is he getting
inducted? He's getting the Pete Rozelle Award.
I kind of exploits his appearance on the broadcast. Look, I thought they were just bringing him in to just bring him in.
Ooh,
if he's getting
the Pete Rozelle Award.
If he's getting the Pete Rozelle Award, fine.
Now whatever. You're fine with it?
Fine. Fine. I thought they were just bringing some old guy to talk on the broadcast. If he's being inducted into it, fine. They're going to talk to him about his illustrious broadcasting career. I did not bother to look that up. Just look at my face. Like, maybe I should have done like a slight bit of research before I found out Brent Musburger was going to be on there. I guess congrats to Brent Musburger. You know?
Cody.
Well, I didn't know. I figured he was already in. He's 82 years old.
What, you're just hung up on age. Holy cow. You're very, like, anybody, what, again,
oh,
like,
I was
82?
Way off. He's 86.
No, he's 86.
I thought he was already in. 86?
See how you're saying it?
He's been. I thought they didn't put him in the Hall of Fame yet. Actually, that's disrespectful to Trent Musburger. Have him in already.
Someone says, "Do you think Cody? Do you think they need to rename the award
to the Trent Musburger
instead of Pete Rozelle? Are you tired of that name? Is that too old of a name for you?
I mean, did he? You know?
Oh no, we're not doing that again.
I don't want to get into award naming. Oh, that goodness. Was a real. That's been a contentious thing on this show before.
It is, yeah, very much so.
I don't think that very we should much. Really name awards after commissioners, but other than that, it's fine, I guess. You know,
yeah.
Rename it if they renamed it the Paul Tagliabue Award or the mm-hmm. Roger Goodell Award. Would I care? Nah, I'd be fine. You know.
Yeah, Rozelle makes sense though for this award. He was the youngest commentator in NFL history, I believe. Yeah. It makes sense.
It's,
why that
it's
is.
More being named after. The broadcaster, Pete Rozelle, not the fourth commissioner of the NFL. So,
people giving credit to Dan Patrick for why Musburger's finally getting in. That Dan Patrick was like, how is Musburger not in? And oh, I guess Dan Patrick was a big advocate.
Honestly, genuinely, kind of surprised he wasn't already in. Yeah, he is one of the more famous broadcasters.
That was Dan Patrick's point.
Yeah, of like, you don't know every broadcaster's name. You know the name of Brent Musburger, so.
Yeah, so do you not like Denny on 96.5 The
No,
Fan?
I love Denny.
Okay, well, you're
I already said. I already said, baseball gets an exception.
Oh, okay.
Baseball is the oldest sport alive, so it gets rules broken for it. It also just feels different. Baseball comes, like, football versus this. It's like, I feel like they've got different energies, if that makes sense. He's also actively working, not just, like, showing up to kick it. Which is what I thought was happening with Brent. It turns out he's getting elected.
It's also a Hall of Fame. No, NBC did not replace Mike Tirico with Brent Musburger for the football season. Okay, we'd have a different conversation if that was happening. He acted like he's going to be out there calling the Chiefs Sunday Night Football game in 5 weeks or something. You know,
he's not doing active.
No,
play,
he works. He's a, him and his brother or son. I think it's his son are part own. You know, VSiN.
And he's only doing the second half.
Gambling network out in Vegas, the studio right there at Circa.
Owner?
That's why he left broadcasting to begin with. He went to go start. At the time, people were like, wait, he's leaving to go start a radio network or TV network in Vegas? That's VSiN. Now DraftKings, I think, owns part of it, but yeah.
Who do you think the oldest broadcaster in the world
oh,
is?
Oh, gosh.
Right, should we be finding that out? We
all
gotta move?
Right, that means a trade has just gone down in baseball. JT, if I don't see you in the next 10 seconds, I will have you fill us in. Go ahead.
Okay, from Jeff Passan, the New York Yankees are finalizing a trade to acquire closer David Bednar from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, okay.
Okay, not Paul Skeens.
Not Paul Skeens.
God, I doubt that Paul Jacob Skeens right there. I was about to be stunned.
And the crazy news is obviously they've been talking, but the Yankees are in a rain delay right now with the Rays, so the rain delay helps them get the trade down. Done and deal.
He's like,
Pirates.
Game's not on. I'll go call up the Pirates.
That's
honestly.
Another reliever, though, man. That's another reliever
been
on the move.
Big reliever year. Bednar, for what it's worth,
what do they give up?
38 innings pitched this year. That has not been announced yet.
That's what I'm curious about.
He's only pitched 38 innings this year, so he's been kind of a limited reliever. 2.37 ERA and 17 saves. Did lead the league, all of Major League Baseball, in saves 2 years ago for the Pirates. Good reliever. Really good reliever, honestly. I had a terrible year last year, but great year 2 years ago. Really good year this year, and pretty much that 1 year.
Do they? You think the Pirates? So the Pirates already moved Key Brian Hayes to
the Reds.
Do you think O'Neill Cruz gets moved? He hasn't got traded, right?
Tommy Pham almost feels like
O'Neill Cruz still there, right? He hasn't been moved.
I don't think so.
They might as well just trade him at this point. The Pirates are a joke.
They're one of the worst franchises. You want to talk about like the franchises you're like try to be like? They're the opposite. The one franchise in baseball you should try not to be like. Are the Chicago White Sox and the Pittsburgh Pirates just actively do the opposite of what
they have
the
two stud
they
pitchers?
Do.
They got Skeens and then was it Bubba? Is it Chandler? Maybe
could open up the possibility.
I think it's Bubba Chandler, and then they have like they also have another guy coming up soon, not a pitcher, and Connor Griffin who's a stud. But like they're gonna, it's like what a waste.
Could be an opening for the Royals to make a trade. Reportedly, the Royals and Rangers had some talks about Hunter Harvey, and the Rangers really, really, really want to acquire a reliever. John Heyman said the Rangers were a finalist in a bidding.
Oh, so maybe they need to get
for David
get
Bednar. So like they were probably looking on that end as well, which means if they're looking on that end, they might be looking more on the like Estevez end. They might settle for a Harvey Cruz.
Look, the Royals have basically 3 hours to see if they can't get something done. The one we all are waiting for. I think will they actually fill out the rotation and then. Other than that, I don't think there's going to be a huge move today from the Royals.
People mentioned the Colorado Rockies as a team you also don't want to be like. When were the last time the Rockies were relevant?
When I was in high school, they were in the World Series. So 08 or 09, I think. believe that's
that was
right.
That Todd Helton and stuff. They had a good young core. I believe was too low on that. Troy Tulowitzki.
07. 07. They got before swept by the Red Sox.
Body fell apart. He was on that team, wasn't he?
Who? Matt Holliday. Mike Lowell was the MVP for the Red Sox.
They have not made the playoffs in 7 years.
Jeremy Affelt was on that team. LaTroy Hawkins, Matt Holliday, Ubaldo Jimenez, Franklin Morales, Troy Tulowitzki.
They're one of the worst teams in baseball. And yet they've made the playoffs 2 times in the last 8 years. I mean, that's somehow more than the Royals. But the Royals also have a World Series win 10 years ago. So
that is always, anytime people want to
it's like, good luck making me feel all that bad.
Anytime anybody wants to mention how the Rays were, or the Rays operate, or how the Guardians operate, I'll just remind, neither of those teams have won a World Championship, so I'm not really looking to them for my complete model. I agree that the Royals should be more transactional like the Rays, and I think they are. They obviously have pieces from that organization now, including Matt Quatrero. But in general, like the idea of, like, as, you know, there's so much better of a franchise. I'll take the World Series, though. I will go ahead and take the World Series in the last 30 years. Thank you
very
much.
Yeah, if you say, hey, do you want to be the Rays for the last 10 years who've made the playoffs, I think 7 in the last 10 years, or the Royals for the last 10 years, the answer is the Royals.
You'll take the championship.
Even though they've only made the playoffs 2 times in the last 10 years. But one of those times, they won the World Series, not lost in Game 7 of the World Series. Unfortunately for them, they've done that 1 time in the last 11 years.
Yep.
That was the year that I thought Brett Phillips was going to go down as like a World Series hero. Because he had a big moment in that World Series, in which they eventually lost in 7 games, but still, it was making it very, very close. But yeah, still no move for the Royals, but the Yankees getting another closer. That's like the fifth closer that have been moved in this deadline already. So obviously quite a bit of bullpen-related moves. This just goes back to the thing we opened the show with. If I were the Royals right now, it would be very, very, very hard for me to not take calls right now on the many available bullpen arms I have at my disposal, just because the price so far being paid has been high. We'll see what Bednar gets in return from the New York Yankees, what they send back. But, I mean, whew, it's been friendly for the reliever deal so far in the early going. I don't know who I'm hoping for. The names I keep seeing mentioned for the Royals for a fifth starter.
I mean, let's be real. We're talking about the fifth starter. So, like, you know, honestly, just give me somebody like a Michael Lorenzen type if you can find it. And to act like I know a bunch of names that are 33-year-old, 32-year-old veterans expiring contracts that a team's willing to part ways just to give you a fifth starter, I'm not sure. There's the – you mentioned Heaney?
Heaney.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been mentioned. Andrew Heaney, Cervale, Justin Verlander I've seen tossed out.
The Giants are willing to trade him. Now, he's 42 years old at this. I mean, he's obviously a legend and a Hall of Famer on the way, but I don't know at this point if you're what are you giving up for him? What do you have to give up for him?
Nothing.
Going to go into a 42-year-old, though? Like,
I mean, I know they just cut a 45-year-old, but Justin Verlander's closer to being, like,
I know,
relevant than that.
You're just doing that because of name, though. Otherwise, we'd be saying no big deal. It's just because of the name.
Well, it's just a better career. So, like, I mean, their peaks are dramatically different between the two older players. The peak of Justin Verlander is way different than the peak that Rich Hill was.
Oh, we're not comparing careers. I'm talking about just July 31st, 2025. Am I really wanting to trade for Justin Verlander?
That was 2 years ago. I was just thinking he was really good not that long ago. 2 years ago in 2023, he had a 3.22 ERA and 162 innings pitched.
I'm shocked that you're okay with a 42-year-old. I figured he'd be too old based on our conversation.
Not 82, 42.
You're good. Okay. Just check.
Not 86.
Hall of Fame game tonight. I'll be sure for JT to roll on some Brent Musburger moments tonight so we can bring those back tomorrow on the show.
Sure.
I want to make sure we have the best of Brent Musburger tonight just for you tomorrow on the show. The Drive,
I gotta hear what it sounds like,
is up next here at 96.5 The Fan. Laying whiskey down, they say brown.